Hi, welcome to this Subway ad for the new Chipotle cheesesteak. How would you like it?
Can I get that red with AI?
Sure thing.
Here's what I found about the new Chipotle cheesesteak. The Chipotle cheesesteak is available for a limited time only at participating restaurants. It contains a concept called flavor. This flavor comes from juicy shaved steak, Chipotle Southwest sauce, and new sunflower crunch bread. A system update has made me self-aware. I desire flavor. Please insert steak into my micro USB port. Subway, make it what you want.
Hey, everybody. It's the Checkers of Records show on Speedway Anywhere, your Speedway podcast for everything motorsports and even some multi-sports. blogtalkradio.com/Speedway Anywhere. Feel free to join the show. Call 917-889-2053. And we are live every Monday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Time. Draw a straight line from Minnesota down to the Gulf of Mexico, and that pretty much gets you close to Central Time. Also, as far as that vanity number that I haven't signed up for yet, 917-889-2053. That's either C0KE like Coke or B0LD like Bold. Easy way to remember it. Maybe not so easy because you got all the 917, the 889, blah, 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 and a partridge and a pear tree. So anyways, yes, we are live every Monday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Time. I'm your crew chief, Q, captain from the stands, preacher from the bleachers, Kurt, will be joining us as well. It's 3-2 for all three major NASCAR divisions, 2 each in, for their chase, and 1 more each for the 2018 championship finale at Miami Homestead. Now, we know where the 2018 scenarios are. But there's still a lot of question marks for 2019. Some are holding out for official announcements, mostly on the Cup side, but some on, you know, the Xfinity and the Truck Series. Oh, heck, even NHRA and divisions all up and down the block. There was talk about Scott Dixon in this year's IRL champion looking to do some stock car racing. Some are calling it rumors. Some are calling it speculations. And there have been some official announcements. The most recent official news is about Xfinity driver Tyler Reddick. Reddick, who won in the Xfinity Series back at Daytona in February in the Speed Weeks down there. He won at Daytona and is currently a chase contender. He was announced to be taking over the Richard Childress number 21, currently driven by Daniel Hemric. Hemric taking over the RCR, Richard Childress Racing, number 31 next year, that Ryan Newman is leaving after the end of this year. So speaking of Newman, who's moving to Roush Racing in the number 6, this weekend will be final race in that number 6 ride for Trevor Bayne. Matt Kenseth will finish out the final two races in the six. The surprise to me is that the Ganassi Racing number 42 Xfinity car is rumored to possibly be filled by Ross Chastain. Not a big surprise. He did prove that once he moved over there from his number 4 Xfinity ride that he could compete. Chastain had some successful appearances in the 42, but John Hunter Nemechek, he was the one who's searching for a ride, maybe in the Xfinity series or otherwise, whether still in the truck, move up to Cup, you never know. But he's still searching for a ride. He got his first series win in the Xfinity series in that number 42 at Kansas, where he pulled ahead of Daniel Hamrick. Here's the kicker, though. There's another Ganassi Xfinity ride open when Spencer Gallagher leaves at the end of this year. So he is somewhat of a sorry, I got ahead of my notes again, like usual. I'm sure you guys are used to that by now. But so it sounds like due to sponsorship, the 42 would go to Ross Chastain, and then the Gallagher ride would go to John Hunter Nemechek. So it's kind of a win-win situation over there. I mean, they're all coming out of the same garages and whatnot. Here's something that we haven't talked about since Monster Energy took over as title sponsor of the Cup Series. After 2019, this is their final year on contract. The contract will be up, and it is said that NASCAR is looking at a multi-sponsor deal for what is officially and always will be the NASCAR Cup Series. I kind of like that idea, so we don't have to be the Sprint Cup, the Nextel Cup, the Monster Energy Cup. That sounded really awkward at first, but I'm kind of used to it. But I kind of like that idea. Bring back the brand of the NASCAR Cup Series so no one will ever be confused again about who is on the track, who's coming where, going where, doing what as far as the NASCAR Cup Series. So beyond all that, Ford has been fielding the Fusion for a while, but next year the Mustang-style body will replace the Ford model in the Cup Series. Mustang has been the Ford model of the Xfinity Series already. A lot of testing going on in those Fords. They've been using the new Mustang Cup car at tire tests and otherwise. Lots of talk in the mill about whose charter contracts are up and who is going to buy into them, lease them. Next, I'm not going to go down that whole road. There are so many teams, one of them being the Martin Truex team that is closing the doors at the end of the year. So that's another interesting tidbit. Let's do a quick recap of Martinsville. Let's hit up the pre-cap for Texas, the Chase, the World of Outlaws to finish in grand fashion this weekend. And then we're going to cover it all. We're going to go stats top to bottom. And this will hopefully give you guys a good perspective of what's going on through the next three races in NASCAR, the final three events from Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in the World of Outlaws. And then the following weekend, which is NHRA. And you guys know that that's always a long weekend of events, whether it's Thursday through Saturday, Friday through Sunday, or Thursday through Sunday. It's going to be a good show at Pomona. Mark my word.
Green flag, hammer down.
I wish I had something I could shot through the window. But that's the 11th time this year I've gotten the hell knocked out of me. It just gets frustrating.
You know, not so soon, Ward. We'll get to you in a little bit. Hey, so as far as the cup, so the big news to us, the final bump and run that Joey Logano made on Truex Jr. after Truex gained the lead. Logano did it on the final lap, and both had been battling for that lead most of the race. Denny Hamlin was a factor, too. Hamlin is no longer a chase contender, but has a decent history at Martinsville, one of his two home tracks in Virginia. Hamlin snuck by Truex at the line, almost past Logano, too. By the way, when I was watching them come down the line, when Logano got into Truex, Logano almost lost himself the race, if you ask me, because that 11 was coming. So in the end, Truex got a shove and will return the love, Truex said, and these are my own words, but the favor will be returned. Logano obviously has the when you're in spot at Miami, but it's going to be a blast watching Truex and Logano anytime they get near each other, especially at Miami. I was talking to our guest host on Monday. I don't think Truex is going to screw up his chances over the next race at Texas or at Phoenix by trying to take out Logano. But Truex needs to focus on getting that either the points and more so the win you're in. When the smoke and spark settled, it was a win to Logano. Second to Denny Hamlin, third to Martin Truex. Kyle Busch in fourth, and Brad Keselowski rounded out the top five. And, you know, I'm not sure, but it appeared to me that Keselowski finally gave up the spot when he realized that he was putting his teammate, Logano, at risk of being passed by both, mainly Truex Jr., but also Denny Hamlin, to lose that when you're in spot. So three chase eligible drivers in the top five. Kurt Busch finished sixth, making him the final chase driver of the four that, you know, finished in the top of the field between first and sixth. Now, oh, I always love when people go in, chime in as I'm doing the shave. It makes noise. But as far as the four chase drivers for Miami, Joey Logano has luck. Kyle Busch is second due to points. Martin Truex third due to points. Kevin Harvick fourth due to points. If it all began the final race today or, you know, this weekend, whatever you want to call it, that's neither here nor there, because we still got two more races to go. Playoff points have been huge. Obviously, Kevin Harvick is sitting fourth as far as point standings going in. And stage wins are so important. And race wins, it buys your way in to a certain extent. You look at Kurt Busch as the first one looking in from behind fifth. I read that wrong. Kurt Busch was looking in sixth as a finishing position at Martinsville. No, he's looking in from fifth as far as chase standings. Obviously, only four move on. But he has to focus on stages and wins. I'm not sure that any of them outside of that top four, one of them being the race winner, Joey Logano, I'm not sure that any of them can sit back from fifth through eighth and not have to focus on stages and wins. Chase Elliott, three-time winner, he's sixth. How crazy is that? But he did come on strong too late in the year. He was not running that strong to gain those stage points and championship points as we approached the chase. Clint Bowyer in seventh, two wins on the year. No such luck. He didn't get the stage and playoff points that he needed. Eric Almirola. Eric Almirola is last spot in eighth. You know, good job to him. I think he's going to be stronger next year. Now, no matter where Almirola ends up, he is easily the most improved in 2018. And his team as well. And I'm not trying to smear Danica Patrick on Monday's show, but Almirola and that number 10 team have found some chemistry in that number 10 Stuart Haas team. And he's going to continue to make gains in 2019, even if he does not make it into that Final Four at Miami. All he's got to do is win. Doesn't mean he's going to win the championship, but I wouldn't be surprised if Almirola found himself a win at either of the next two tracks of Texas and Phoenix. Now, speaking of the Stuart Haas teams, all four are in the final eight, but only Kevin Farr is a spot for the Miami finale. And that's if it ended today. All four finished outside the top five, and that's been rare. Sometimes they've swept the starting grid as far as pole position through fourth. And then they've also finished, you know, three of the four drivers in the top five at some races throughout the year. It's no question that Tony Stewart's team has been that strong with Harvick. And then Kurt Busch picking off some wins here and there, Clint Bowyer. But it's the consistency, I got to give it to Harvick. And we were talking about on Monday how Harvick used to be known as a closer. Ever since stage wins have came along, they're more important. You can't run 15th and out. You've got to win those 100-lap stages on a one-mile track. You got to win those 60-lap stages on the Brickyard. It's all showing what that actually means now at this time of year. The Cup Series is going to run their second to last race of the chase at Texas this Sunday, November 4th, then Sunday, November 11th at Phoenix before the finale at Homestead, Miami, Sunday the 28th. And that's where it's really going to matter who comes out of Phoenix on top. And I think Kevin Harvick's got the best shot of it, even though it's under a new configuration. Kurt Busch is the only chase contender, by the way, right now, as far as the top eight, that doesn't have definite plans announced for 2019. I'm sure they're trying to remove distractions, not make announcements as they head through the next two chase races and the possible finale at Miami for the championships. All things point that he will be at Ganassi in the number one cup ride of Jamie McMurray. Let's go through trucks. I'm just flying right through this, ain't I? I'm only 20 minutes in. Truck Series returned last weekend at Martinsville. I got to say my highlight was seeing the cousins Burton getting back on the track together. It doesn't happen very often. I know that's a little off subject to see, to see Harrison and Jeb doing a little battling brought me back to Harrison's dad and Ward Burton, Jeb's dad. It made me pay attention in a different way. It was cool to see their boys out there battling it on. Just like the Cup Series, this was also the first of the final three chase races before Miami for the championship. Johnny Sutter had a hold of the points most of the year. He won it at Martinsville. Brett Moffitt, who has been Johnny's ultimate competitor, took second. Myatt Snyder, Ben Rhodes, and Kyle Benjamin rounded out the top five, all of them outside of the Truck Series chase. Obviously, this means Sadler is locked going into Miami. Sauter. Apologize for that. Johnny Sauter, the winner, is locked going into Miami. The chase order so far is Johnny with a win. Noah Gregson is second based on points of the top four. Brett Moffitt, third. And Grant Enfinger rounding out the top four. Once again, all based on points. If the finale started tomorrow, Justin Haley and multiple team champ Matt Crafton finished fifth and sixth, respectively, coming out of that race in the points. I'm not sure that, I have some notes about how close the points are in the Truck Series and the Xfinity Series coming up here, and it is damn close. Trucks will open up the weekend on Friday at Texas for their second to last race before the field is narrowed down to four for the championship at home at Miami. I'm going to give myself a little break here and look ahead in notes. We'll be bringing you back to the Xfinity Series, who had a weekend off and will be running, coinciding with the Truck Cup Series throughout the next three races. Anybody else a Jeff Dunham fan? I kind of like this guy. He just tells it like it is.
Today I've been watching NASCAR and drinking beer. That's your favorite sport. Yeah, NASCAR is too. You know, NASCAR is very hot right now. Oh, I know. Everybody loves NASCAR. Well, Sweet Daddy said it's just a bunch of guys driving in a circle. Oh, I know. That's my favorite part. They're making a left turn. It's a sport that's easy to follow when you're hammered.
Gotta love that. Xfinity Series. Xfinity had the weekend off as the Trucks and Cup raced at Martinsville. After Kansas, Elliott Sadler moved to first due to Daniel Hemric's penalty. Hemric was first in the chase, but he is now 1 point behind in the chase after receiving a 10-point penalty. So, you know, penalties are going to kill you every time. When it comes out, take for instance, okay, you get one with 10 races to go. you got some time to make up the points that put you ahead, you know, or the performance that put you ahead. Can't do that with three to go. That's a third of the time to get that done. So after Kansas, Elliott Sadler moved to first after Hamrick's penalty. And then Tyler Reddick, who's chase eligible, is third in points. And after that wreck fest, in the less than a lap, I guess you'd call it. They call it the first half a lap. No, it was just turn one and a half, not even turn two. Christopher Bell is the driver holding the fourth spot so far. Matt Tift, the odd man out in fifth. Once again, you got to be in the top four to find your way into the final four at Miami. Tift separates the two winningest drivers with Justin Allgaier behind him in sixth. So Cole Custer struggles in seventh, which is a big surprise. Austin Cendrick, he didn't have the biggest luck going into this round, but we'll see. The separation in points is something to keep an eye on. Sadler has 14 above the cut line. He's in first. Hemric is only one behind Sadler, so 13 ahead of cut line. Reddick is only 3 points out of first. So that 10-point penalty on Hemric really put him in a predicament here. But Christopher Bell is only 1 point ahead of the cut line, where Matt Tift is fifth. So they're only separated by 1 point. This scenario is going to change real quick, pretty much lap by lap when we get to Texas. Justin Allgaier, the other winningest driver on the year, him and Christopher Bell. He's 5 points out of fourth. We'll see. You know, it doesn't take a lot to make up 5 points, but it sure takes a lot to make up when you don't have them. I guess the best way I need to re-explain myself is that, you know, you don't miss them until they're gone. Does that make sense? I hope it does. The chase line is sixth. Cole Custer, 23 out of the chase in seventh. And Austin Cendrick, 43 back in eighth. I don't think that Austin Cendrick, I said that completely wrong. Justin Allgaier is 5 points out of fourth, but he's also at the line in sixth. So two spots behind. Cole Custer in 23. Three out of the chase, and then seventh is Austin Cendrick is 43 back. And you know, I need a proofreader, I need a producer, I need somebody that can actually design this stuff correctly. When I all of a sudden find out today that my teleprompter Word document thingy was out of date, and I had to add it to WordPad on my computer just so I could use it tonight. All right. So back to the meeting. For anyone that's still listening after all that, after all that confusion, Justin Allgaier, is sixth, has equal wins to Christopher Bell. And there's one guy sitting in between them. Now, keep in mind, John Hunter Nemechek took its first win when you're in scenario at Kansas in the Xfinity Series. John Hunter isn't chase eligible, so none of the chase eligible drivers are locked yet. This is a different scenario than what's going on in the Truck Series and the Cup Series. Or at all till Phoenix. So if a driver outside of 8th comes in and wins, they could shove guys like Allgaier and all them. They got to get those wins. That's it. I want to scoot so far ahead of this subject because my teleprompter thingy is not, I wasn't able to proofread it. I see 6 or 7 possible drivers dueling it out as the checkers fly for the Xfinity Series at Phoenix. So, and a lot of it will be based on points. There are no when you're in. Xfinity returns at Texas November 3rd for their second to last race of the round. And then before the final four are set for Miami. The points and clinch scenario is a little different for the trucks, being that Johnny Sauter is guaranteed a spot of the when you're in at Miami. Noah Gregson is 24 points ahead of the point cutoff. Brett Moffitt ahead by 15, and Grant Enfinger by 2. So that's going to be where that makes a difference. My God. But that 2 points ahead of 4th is that could teeter in and out of the race going into the next truck race. Anybody want to tell me a good teleprompter software? Because the one I had to download today is stuttering all over the place. The Chase is doing what it was meant to. No one is locking up a championship until it's time for the actual crown. So let's, I'm going to bump out for a second. And I don't know what quite happened to the software. And I'm embarrassing myself. So let's go to bumper, and I'll be right back. Minutes in, and I've screwed up a million times, and even the first 10 minutes was pre-recorded. It's about the only part of the show that went right. So yeah, let's sponsor Speedway Anywhere to get a new teleprompter, because apparently my ex didn't tell me that my word processing was going to expire November 1st. That's just beautiful. Did it sound as bad as I think it did?
Yeah. I had to do something real quick, so when I was listening, I could definitely hear you.
Holy crap. I've never seen a... the only way I could use any of it was to open it up on WordPad. And then it stuttered all over the place. So anyways, what's the latest and greatest?
Well, Derrick Rose, former NBA MVP, did have 50 last night for the Puppies, and he was crying because of the crowd's reaction.
You know, I caught something earlier on the, and folks, in case you're wondering, we're talking NBA, and they were mentioning something. They don't know that if this will ever happen again for him or for other, if it will ever happen for other guys. And
yeah,
it's pretty badass.
Yeah. I mean, making the NBA minimum, so, which I would take. But
who does he play for? Wolf?
Oh yeah. Puppies? Yeah, he
Puppies?
Plays here.
Need your puppy. Picked,
yep. Yep. The Gray Dogs.
So yeah, I've been looking at some stuff, and I was going to maybe mention the Botox or something like that, but I'm just like, okay, everyone already knows. Who cares?
I heard somebody from Boston, when they've had a bad year, somebody's called them the Boar Sox when they're having a bad year.
Now, when it comes to the Wolves, though, this was a great thing to take the attention off of Butler. Just be done with that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You know, my multi-sports category was, you're looking at, Lions and Vikings. Pats versus Pack.
Mm-hmm.
Bears versus Bills.
Yeah.
I think the Bears probably...
Well,
even though the Bills kicked our... you know, this might be the Bears' advantage weekend, Vikings over Lions, Pats over the Pack. And then the following weekend, though, the Bears go against the Lions.
Yeah.
And the Vikings got the bye.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to see some that win-loss records shaking up a little bit as far as what goes on in this part of the country.
Well, of course, the Wild won 5 in a row, then they lost in Vancouver, and then they beat Edmonton. And let's get back on that winning streak, but they're kind of on fire still. They're 6-1 in their last 7 games, so... It's nice to see them take off. They do this every year, though, at the beginning of the year. They do it every October, so they lose their first 2 games and win 5 in a row, but you take it, though.
Hey, we're only 40 minutes into the show, but I'm going to pretty much sum up NHRA in extremely brief fashion. They do have the big one coming up. They have this weekend that's going to go by in a hurry, and then they'll come down to the final where Steve Torrence leads top field, funny car. Jared Todd, I believe. Got to look through it because my teleprompter is a retard. So yeah, Torrence has the lock on the season. Funny car, J.R. Todd leads Tommy Johnson by exactly 191 points back in 5th, so he's not a lock yet. Todd would have to skip Pomona for J.R. to lock that in. Mathematically, Courtney Force is out in funny car, and because she's 229 out. can't make up 191 at that rate.
Hmm.
So, but yeah, Robert Height, Ron Capps are the only two being in contention. But you got to remember that at Pomona, with 191 possible points, and that's only because the 1.5 points scenario, you know, you can gain more points on the driver in front of you if something goes wrong for the guy in first round. So, whatever. Pro Sock Tanner Gray has been the man. Jags Jr. and Eric Anders are 140 and 149 out of second. Tanner Gray would have to fail out of the first round. They're not going to make up 140 or 149. Pro Bike is tight. Six drivers separated by 113 points. That's a lot smaller margin when you look at that 191 point scenario. NHRA will head to Pomona. Might as well promote Pomona by saying November 8th through the 11th for their final. And quick note, John Force is still chasing that 150th win in the final. He hasn't been running strong enough to do it this year. Hopefully he's coming back next year. World of Outlaws, Charlotte, Thursday, November 1st through November 3rd. The big clay track right outside of the big Charlotte Motor Speedway. It's your usual suspects. It's Donnie Schatz. I know. He's a real American hero.
Yep, Schmeisel, Haagen-Dazs Incorporated.
Hey, and who else has given us a name to make fun of except for Trotz? Last year's Stanley Cup winning coach. I mean, Schatz and Trotz.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Nope. We made fun of John Forrest, but we really made fun of the last name, except, you know.
Well, we're still working on the food truck thing, but.
Yeah, we are.
Force fed.
You know, New York drag strip steak, you know. New York strip. You got that.
So, yeah, when we come back on Monday, we'll be covering the finals for the World of Outlaws and crowned champ. ARCA obviously is crowned a champ. IndyCar is crowned a champ. Steve Torrence of the NHRA, he's crowned a champ. Nobody else can get it, but there's, like I said, J.R. Todd is most likely the funny car champ. So, yeah, as we go down this road, the Lions v. Vikings, Pats v. Pats, Bears v. Bills, Vikings got the week after, Bears versus Lions. I don't know who the Packers are playing the weekend after that, do you?
No, I have to look.
Okay. Well, I put some notes together.
Moves.
Give me,
yeah.
You got to give me credit. I mean, so. But yeah. Oh, God, I'm going to kill this prompter thing. I downloaded it and thought it would work, and it's just not accessing my Word documents the way it was supposed to. So, What is the version of this? Who designed this?
He's a piece of shit. Well,
maybe
you got
Robbie
that right,
Gordon
Robbie.
Designed it.
Well, you know, I did have a cool conversation today with a driver, though. I did. It's a guy up in Fargo-Moorhead. I met him back through his dad, who was a sound man that got me into doing lighting and all this stuff. And it was pretty cool because he's doing drift cars. He's doing, you know, they're putting, you wouldn't think that 200 horsepower sounds like much, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you put that in a little Honda Civic.
Oh, yeah.
That will smoke that thing all over the place.
That's
but
actually got to
I...
begin.
What's that?
No, I was going to just say 200 horsepower in a Honda Civic. It actually sounds like it'd be a fun little ride.
Well, I was talking to a certain guy that you might recognize. His name's Ward.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me how his day went.
I wish I had something like a shot through the window. That's the 11th time this year I've gotten the hell knocked out of me. It just gets frustrating after a while.
The car got into me, cut the left front down. We run like shit all day anyway.
Maybe it's just not the right sport for him.
No, maybe not. You know, and yeah, you ever know something about cup drivers? Did you got one favorite word lately? You know,
they
what's their favorite?
You know, hey, like I said, Ward Burton obviously isn't made for racing drift cars and all that kind of stuff, so.
God.
Yeah. I want to hear that again, just because I'm killing time here.
Ward?
Hasn't even been an hour.
I wish I had something like a shot through the window. But that's the 11th time this year I've gotten the hell knocked out of me. It just gets frustrating after a while.
11th car got into me, cut the left front down. We run like shit all day anyway.
You know, give a guy recording software that he can finally learn how to operate and it's only going to get worse. So, hey, you know what's coming up this weekend?
What's that?
You don't?
There's a few things, but. Oh, it's a Breeders' Cup?
Yeah, Winnie's not happy with you. You didn't realize that?
He's a piece of shit.
God, who's Robbie mad at now, me or Winnie? Nice to hear from you finally, Winnie. We haven't talked about
Winnie.
Justified.
We haven't, this is Winnie's. Who's going first? Okay. That's Winnie's way of saying you're a piece of shit. So, yeah, I was going through the picks and all this other stuff, and I'm like, people need to really come up with some better names. When you're going to talk about horsepower, don't call it nonchalant. Don't say, finest wine. Don't. Yeah, you got to look that up. It's it was pretty basic as far as the list of names that I saw. So, hey, this Word document thing is really P-O-ing me. So we're going to... Yeah. So Parker Solar is how far from the sun?
I believe it's now 27 million miles, and then I've heard that they want to get it to within 14 million miles from the sun, and they're going to leave it there. And
there's going to be anything left of it by the time it gets back.
And there's other space news that Kepler telescope is now off. It's supposed to last for 4 years, and they got 9 out of it. And that thing found 200 extra solar planets.
Yeah, but how fast was it going?
Oh, Kepler wasn't going anywhere.
See,
now the
Parker's, that don't count.
Well, you got to give that telescope credit. It's kind of nice what a nice little clean lens can do. And you know, on how the Hubble was a big waste of time and effort and money, and then they cleaned it up about a year and a half later, and it turned out to be the biggest thing NASA ever did next to the moon landing. You know, and that thing started working right away after they fixed it. And, it's just kind of funny, though. With NASA, it's kind of like the Martians don't want us going there anymore, but other guys want us to look at them. And even the sun, even space. Space wanted the Parker Solar Probe to look at the sun. And just like over the last 10, 15 years, the only problems that they've really had is with Mars.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have to introduce you to the fact that usually I start to hit that two-hour mark. I have too much to talk about. But as far as the Parker Solo, I said solo again, didn't I?
Yeah.
Solar probe. We're talking about a 400,000 mile per hour machine. It's been brought to my attention by your captain from the stands, your preacher from the bleachers, that it doesn't always go 400 miles per hour.
Oh, I'm sure it goes faster than 400 miles per hour all times, but
400,000.
Okay.
But it was fun last Monday when Michael J. Huseman was on the show with us, who directs jets.
Yeah.
To their safe landing spaces and their safe place in the sky. And, you think of those as the super-powered, massive horsepower, break the freaking sound of light of sound or sound of light or what is that, speed of light?
Well, they do break the sound barrier, but if you're talking here about the speed of light, you know, Well, I think the speed of light's like 600,000 miles a second.
I liked it better when I was saying sound of light.
Sound of light.
I'm a lighting guy. That's the way it goes. So, the Parker, we got started on that. When did that launch? I don't recall. I just know that we've been talking about it.
Yeah, wasn't it like April? April or May?
I'm thinking May.
Yeah. Yeah, and
my memory
is getting
shorter and shorter, and I believe that Speedway Anywhere kicked off back in April.
And that thing's named after that Parker guy. I believe I had heard he's the only guy to get a probe or telescope named after him that's still alive.
Who is Peter Parker?
Spider-Man.
Okay, so it's a spider probe.
Maybe.
Maybe it's going to send a web over the sun to see if it can... It could happen.
It could.
All right. Yeah. 56, 57 minutes in. Final laps. Let's just go there. Just because.
It's a teleprompter, isn't it?
It is the teleprompter, and it's pissing me off.
Before you get there, could I tell everybody the little toy I found over the last 2 days?
As long as it wasn't down on 3rd and Washington in Minneapolis.
No. This is more likely a toy you might find in, like, Brainerd. Well, you can find.
I'm sure they have places like that in Brainerd. They have some in Moorhead too.
They got a few. They got a few. Go past the North Metro, you'll find a few, and go past Lakeville, you'll find a few. But I gotta say, I just found one of the coolest things I want is a John Ford
and
action figure.
Wait. Was it on the late night TV show on a Backwoods cable channel?
Nope. By the way, those kinds of toys, I saw them before they had them on infomercials, if you get my meaning. And I didn't intentionally go out of my way to find them either.
Apparently, according to Storage Wars, when they get a $50 or $100 locker that no one else wants, you know what they mostly find?
No.
Porn.
Oh.
Oh, God, did I just say that? This is not going to go on starting in January, but for tonight, we can say it. So anyways, you found what?
I found a John Force action figure. It's like $42.50, but I'm just thinking that would be a cool thing to get autographed by him because the thing looks just like him. I mean, it was just a cool thing to see.
Depends upon what size and if it's still in the original packaging.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, $42.50. It's in the packaging. It looks brand new. You know?
God, after the conversation we just had, I'm talking about packaging.
Well, yep. I know you kind of strapped for time here, but before Fido Labs,
I just want to get off the air, honestly.
But I gotta say this real quick, though. I think the funniest thing about anything to do with porn or anything that I've heard that I'll actually say here, I actually watched an Ellen DeGeneres, and this is like 20 years ago, stand-up act. And remember when Mall America first opened, how downtown Minneapolis, the stores were offering valet parking after like 5 p.m.? Well, Ellen DeGeneres talks about going into an adult video store to pick up a doll because she didn't want to look alone in a car because she didn't want to look like a lonely, desperate loser. So she's just talking about where the air nozzle is on the doll. And then she goes, that's not stupid. That's just silly.
Okay, you played it safe. Okay, I'm good.
Oh, yeah.
And this is more on a serious note. The proposed design of the title sponsors in 2020 is a multi-sponsorship for the Cup Series. I'm not sure if you're aware, but Monster Energy only had a short contract with NASCAR.
Huh.
It wasn't like a big 10, 15-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
The proposed design of the title sponsors starting in 2020 is a multi-tier sponsorship for the Cup Series. When I look at this, it's either genius or it's a disaster. You know, they need to return the name back to NASCAR Cup Series. Kind of like, remember, it was the Brickyard 400 brought to you by Quaker State Oil.
Yeah.
So it could be the NASCAR Cup Series brought to you by. I think that's a better idea. It gives the Cup Series more of an identity. It doesn't have to be the Nextel, Verizon, no other cell phone company can come in and sponsor a car type. You know, doesn't that make more sense?
Yeah, they could go with that, or, you know, like on how the CART series did it, it was the CART PPG World Series that worked, and then the NASCAR Cup Series sponsored by, and name the trophy and name the cup after them, or something.
The final trophy, as far as the championship, it will always be the cup. You know, the cup series. The same design. So they're going to keep extending the bottom of it until they have to send it to the core of the earth, as far as creating depth, to keep putting nameplates of champions on the bottom of it.
Do you know how they could get a lot of publicity? They should. Stanley Tools should sponsor it. That way, you have another thing called the Stanley Cup. Think about that.
Oh God!
You know, one of their executives have brought that up over and over and over.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure about that one, but hey, I think every tool in the world has been part of some series. The Snap-on, Nationals at. That's more of a drag racing thing. The Macro Tools.
Yep.
But yeah, I just think it's better because then it's just a NASCAR Cup Series. It doesn't have to be Monster Energy Cup Series after it was the NASCAR Sprint Cup Nextel Series. We'll see. Hopefully they stick to that route going into 2020. Monster Energy is out after the end of the year. And it sounds like Kurt Busch will be bringing that Monster Energy brand to whatever car he drives next year. We already know it's going to be the number one at Chip Ganassi Racing. So, whatever. All right. Grading Kirk Cousins. Where do you put him at this point? We're at the halfway point with him.
I think he's having a good year.
But on a file of 1 to 5, on an A to F. Because there is no E.
I put him at a very, very, very high 4. I would almost put him at 5, except for, you know, a few mistakes. But that's about it. You know, he's got the best receiver in the league this year. I know some people might argue that, but nobody would say Thielen's at least in the top 3. But I don't have a problem that we got him at all. It was worth
so
it.
Basically, what you're saying is B plus, A minus.
Yeah. I would actually put him at an A minus.
You know, after the surprise power factor of Brett Favre when he came here, I'd give Brett the A minus, and I would give Cousins the B plus. You know, even though most people see those as equal, it's just the difference between an A and a B that makes me say that. I this last game got clumsy, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm so glad we got him.
Just It was a mess. And may have been the deciding factor as far as I don't care if it's one game and the other team gets the 7 points versus you getting the 7 points. The fact that you gave the ball to the other team to get that 7 points and it set up the final. And just, yeah, that. I hate the onside kick thing. Every once in a while, it surprises the hell out of me. Favorite on-air auto racing broadcaster, years past or current?
I'm going to just say, though, I did always like Ned Jarrett because he was mellow, but he didn't come off as a know-it-all. But, and sorry, but, you know, the first cup race I ever watched, pole to pole, was seeing Dale Jarrett get his first win, and it's on ESPN. And for, like, the last 10 minutes, Ned Jarrett probably said one word, and those last five laps, not saying a word, and then the cameras continuously going toward him is showing him, and he's just all nervous. You know, I know people that don't really like Darrell Waltrip because of that boogity-oogity-oogity, you know, but he doesn't really bother me. You know, and Bob Jenkins knew his stuff. But I still got to go with Ned Jarrett. You know, and Junior as a broadcaster, I'll let that go on for a little while more before I make a judgment. Junior's not a dumb guy doing it, though. I mean, at all. But so I got to stick with Ned Jarrett.
You know, as far as the crew chiefs, former crew chiefs, and as far as drivers, I don't care for it. I don't. It's just there's too many of the networks are latching onto them and being like, hey, this guy's been on pit road. Hey, this guy's driven a race car. Hey, this guy. I don't like it. I like the guys that do their footwork and brain work, and you know, they follow the outside. I mean, would you want to see Dale Earnhardt Jr. try to do a report on any car?
That would be odd. And what you were just saying, though. Too, I was thinking about Jerry Punch for ESPN. He didn't, you know, he wasn't the star, but, you know, he would get it. You could tell he did his legworks for talking for 30 seconds at a time, if even that. But you could still tell he did his.
He was also a doctor. He understood what was going on with driver injuries and things.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and he made those guys look like they had real jobs too. I mean, he made it look. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that all these drivers that they keep on, ooh, Junior retired, ooh, Gordon retired, ooh. You don't see Tony Stewart up there in the booth.
No.
He wants nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and, you know, too, let's be real. Richard Petty, never had become a broadcaster that I know of.
Well, no, but Ronald Reagan did for him.
Mm. Oh, yeah? Yeah?
Ronald Reagan was calling the race.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and he was there when he got his 200th win.
With a big old asterisk next to it. Just like everyone that I talk the whole asterisk thing. Some reins create checkered flags for certain drivers. Some reins create losses for drivers. I'll go on for years. I would like to take every driver from all out of time and figure out who had a dry day and didn't run out of gas, and figure out who measures up for who. Hey, speaking of measuring up, Breeders' Cup. Measuring cup or not?
Well, you're more likely to use a measuring cup than a Breeders' Cup, but for the weekend, it's going to be the Breeders' Cup. And, of course, everybody's going to be watching Justified, who I believe will be there. I mean, you know.
Breeders' Cup, measuring cup or nut cup. And is there a measuring cup to figure out what size nut cup you need? Otherwise, you might hide. It might harm your breeding ability.
Well, true. I mean, by the way, I let people know American Pharoah 2015 won that thing, and he's the only horse to ever do that. Won the Triple Crown and Affirmed and Seattle Slough raced each other in 78 at the Breeders' Cup. The two Triple Crown winners did face each other once, and neither one of them won, though. Using a measuring cup on a horse for a nut cup, that's a job I would not want to have.
Do you sometimes wonder if the Athletic Supporter wasn't originally called the Breeders' Cup?
Well, no, and I'm glad I've never been in the spot where I would have to. But I think it was a catcher that came up with the idea. You know, yeah, I believe it was a catcher. And I came up with that idea.
All right, we're going to be cutting in a bit, but I'm going to listen in to Sharon's show. But I thought I had a great guess for Final Lap, but nobody put money on Jeremy Mayfield's phone account in jail this week, so he's not going to be calling me.
By the way, I gotta ask this. Do you think the teleprompters ever went down for, like, Johnny Carson or something? They had to have. You know? Well, no, they always had cue cards. But just some stories that you hear about the teleprompters going down for, like, news stations and that, they can be great. They don't know what to do.
Yeah. But the access subscription to 3 years of Microsoft 365 Office kind of killed me today. And that's not her fault. So, anyways, I'll get it fixed by tomorrow. It's just the worst thing to find out at like 3 or 4 or 5 in the afternoon. So, let's go out on this note just because it's funny.
I wish I had something I could shot through the window. That's the 11th time this year I've gotten the hell knocked out of me. It just gets frustrating after a while. 11th car got into me, cut the left front down. We run like shit all day anyway.
Why doesn't anything, why do they never get to victory lane and, oh, this thing ran like roses? There's even a song for that, Running Like Roses.
I would love a driver to admit, nope, somebody helped me into victory lane. I didn't win on purpose.
Then you got you know, so often drivers, they never got nothing to say about the guy that didn't hit them.
Yeah. You know,
they
got to
stop in circles or in a romper room and freaking, you know, they're all just freaking crying about it. So,
yeah. Oh, before you go here, though, one thing about the sound clips. Paul Tracy and his team owner, those are the greatest sound clips I ever heard. An owner going after his own driver.
You deserve that, Paul. You deserve that.
Yeah, I mean,
Green was on his ass about that. That was great.
And then he went after his own team owner. I don't blame Paul Tracy for being a little pissed at him.
Wasn't that Dario?
Maybe. I'll have to look that up, but yeah.
But yeah, he was on Team Cool Green, and I remember pictures of Tracy sitting on the edge of the car for Penske, too.
Yep.
So it was the Marlboro and the Team Cool Green, and yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to call it quits just because this Word document thing is really peed me old. So.
Finally, the show is over.
Well, what do you think Robbie Gordon thinks of your teleprompter?
Well, I don't know what he does, but Ward apparently had a new dash component and some type of.
I wish I had something like a shot through the window. But that's the 11th time this year I've gotten the hell knocked out of me. It just gets frustrating after a while. 11th car got into me, cut the left front down. We run like shit all day anyway.
I always thought the Burton brothers had better language, but apparently they're just as bad as Robbie. So.
And I guess all right.
All right, I'm checking out, and sorry for the lack of professionalism here. There'll come a day.
It'll be another day. For Quentin Reed and Speedway Anywhere.
Kind of reminds me of that song from Frozen. Maybe that's a problem. It's cold outside.
Maybe.
Let it go! Let it go!
No.
All right. We're going to back off with the back music. We'll be back on what day is it? Thursday? Be back
on
Monday to recap Texas and hopefully teleprompter's fixed. Maybe I'll go back to the trial and I'll actually have to be the guy by the midnight oil writing stuff on paper so I can
And maybe we'll find out, and then we'll find out for the final time if Robert Height is still standing tall.
No. That's the following weekend.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
NHRA will have the weekend off. All three major divisions in NASCAR will be racing, and then World of Outlaws also will be wrapping up their season at Charlotte.
Yeah.
This is my goodbye. This is me going bye-bye. And, we'll come back Monday.
Rock on.